Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the 49th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained about the Garden of Eden. Do you understand the difference between Eden and the Garden of Eden? Many people read the Bible but do not grow their faith because they understand it according to their own thoughts. So they think of the Garden of Eden as a small hill and they try to find it on earth. If you read the Bible carefully, God told Adam and Eve to multiply and rule. And since there was no death there, they had many children and their descendants multiplied and had children without any disease and death. What if the Garden of Eden were the same size as the earth? And it was full of people. Because they don't know about death. This is why the Bible is not interpreted properly. And the people are still searching for the Garden of Eden on the earth. And there was even news recently it was found in Africa. To help you understand better, I will give you this example. The city of Seoul and the Seoul theme park are surely different, aren't they? The Seoul theme park is one of many parks with a Seoul in its name. Seoul and the Seoul theme park are different in sizes and their purposes. By the same token, Eden and the Garden of Eden are so different. The Garden of Eden is the special place located in the Eden of the second heaven. It's a place that God prepared for Adam and his descendant to live in. Many years have passed since Adam lived there. In the meantime, they have continued to multiply and have children and live until now. Then, how big should it be? They will continue to have children and live there, but the size of the Eden is unimaginably vast. The galaxy in this first heaven is incredibly large, but the second heaven is even larger. In addition, the realm of the dark forces occupies half of the second heaven. So how wide is the second heaven? It's endless. There are also other special spaces in addition to the Garden of Eden in the Eden of the second heaven, the place where the saved soul and the Lord will have the seven-year wedding banquet. Is not Garden of Eden, but in Eden. All saved souls during the human cultivation will have a wedding banquet for 7 years. So it has to be very, very large. The place is called Eden, not the Garden of Eden. I mentioned about the natural environment of the Garden of Eden in the last lecture. There's no clear seasons, that there's no night, and that time flow can be noticed through the change of temperature. There are no houses for individuals or family, but they all take a rest in a beautiful tents. And even if most of them live naked, there's no problem because there's no evil. But their high-ranking people wear clothes that are like uniforms. They do not need to wear colorful and varied clothes like people of this land. So they wear something like a uniform to indicate their position. Then why do we put on the clothes in the heavenly kingdom where there's no evil? It's because the heavenly kingdom is the place where the people who receive the human cultivation on earth go. They will never commit sin even if they don't wear clothes, but it's natural for them to put on the clothes because they did on earth. Even if you take off your clothes, no shame in heaven. Since evil itself does not exist, there's no enemy devils. However, because we were clothed and cultivated on this earth, we will be clothed in the heaven when we go there. In addition, the clothes we put on in heavenly kingdom represents our rewards and the glory too. The people of the heaven have a different clothes and the patterns according to level of glory they will receive. There are some people in the Garden of Eden who do wear clothes. They are in the leadership positions. Since the Garden of Eden is so vast and the population is huge, they have their own organizations and the social order. They have organizations and order. There is an order of the flesh and an order of the spirits, and we should not violate this. Even in the world of the darkness, there is order, and they follow that order strictly. As the Lord said, if they break that order, their country will not be able to sustain itself. So, of course, there's order in the spiritual world as well. There is order in this land. There's order in the duties within the family as a grandparents, as a parents, as a children. And we must keep this. Anything that violates this is a sin. Breaking the order of the spirits is the same as breaking God's law. Angels are all in order. Even under the archangels, there's a hierarchy among the angels, and everything is in order. They are grouped in numbers, and each group has its leader. Those who belong to the group obey the instructions of their leader, and they live in harmony. The Garden of Eden is a place where there's no fighting, no bloodshed, and so on. So people live in harmony and obedience according to order. One of their shortcomings is that they don't feel joy, anger, sorrow, or pleasure that much. They don't know the concepts of joy, gratitude, and love. It can be said that animals have a significantly less emotions than humans. Moreover, they do not know what it means to be lovable. These litters put on clothes so that they can be distinct from others. In the Garden of Eden, clothes are no more than a way to present the position of a litter. They don't wear clothes to hide their shames nor to adorn themselves. Dear brothers and sisters, the natural environment of the Garden of Eden is similar to that of the earth. There are various flowers and trees, and there are also many animals. There are many different animals, such as birds, insects, and fish. All the plants are animals created the earth during the 6 days of the creation, also found in the Garden of Eden. However, even though they are the same species, their colors are very different from the colors of the animals on the earth. Both in the earth and in the Garden of Eden, there are white doves. Even though they are both white, however, Their colors are completely different from each other. The white dove in the Garden of Eden are dazzlingly bright and clean white. But the doves on the earth are not like that. To help you understand the difference of those colors, let me give you an illustration. Let's say you take a picture of the same flowers under the same conditions with a normal camera and an HD camera. Which camera's picture will look more beautiful? It would probably be the one taken with a high-definition camera. Likewise, the color of the plants and animals in the Garden of Eden are far more beautiful than those on the earth. It's because the Garden of Eden is a spiritual realm without evil at all. It's the same now as it was when God first created, because it has never been polluted or changed since the creation of the world. It remains in its original clean, clear, and beautiful condition. There are no high mountains in the Garden of Eden. There are gentle hills here and there, creating the gentle terrain. This earth is polluted. It has been polluted ever since Adam was cursed and cast out. So there are many poisonous insects and bad smells. And the colors of nature are changing little by little. The white doves of today are not so pretty. But the doves in the Garden of Eden are so white and beautiful. And the sky is so pure. There's no such a thing as a pollution there. The sky in Seoul is always polluted. And when the pollution level drops about once a year, you can see the stars. You can see the stars above the so far. However, the sky seems from Gangwon-do is much clearer than that of the Seoul. Even though they've same sky and the same animals, the ones on the earth and those in the Garden of Eden are very different. The sky in the Eden of Garden is so blue. The earth has tall mountains that makes for beautiful scenery, but the Garden of Eden has no mountains, so would it be so-so? Not at all. In the Garden of Eden, it's the clouds that created the beautiful scenery. They change into various shapes and created the beautiful scenes. Have you ever looked down at the clouds from an airplane? Sometimes they created the maritime scenes, and other times they look like mountains. Look at the clouds. They consistently change shape. The clouds are coming out. How cool! When you look from the above, the clouds look like a sea. In the Garden of Eden, you can always see the experience of more beautiful shapes than mine. In the Garden of Eden, much more bright and pretty clouds and clouds of the earth make a beautiful scenery. I will explain more about the environment of the Garden of Eden in the upcoming Genesis lectures. Now Genesis chapter 2, 9 says, out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As I told you before, there are countless plants in the Garden of Eden just as there are on earth. There are also fruit trees that yield fruit. So verse 9 says, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to sight and good for food. Their staple food is fruit. By the way, among the countless fruit trees, there are two somewhat special trees located in the center of the Garden of Eden. They are the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The center of the Garden of Eden is located in a higher place. So these two trees can be easily seen. The Namsan Tower in Seoul can also be easily spotted. Also, if you go up the Namsan Tower's observatory, you can see all of Seoul. You can see most of it except for the area obscured by the mountains. It's said that the Sea of the Incheon can be seen when the weather is good. God put these easily spotted trees in the center of the Garden of Eden. These trees have abundant leaves and yield much fruit. The fruit from the trees of the Garden of Eden have a much better taste, smell, and color that is the fruit of the earth. But even among them, all of them, the fruit from these two trees stand out from the fruit of the other trees. The difference is clearly visible. The fruit from these two trees are too big to be held in one hand. Among the fruit of the earth, a 9 to 10 inch melon is pretty close to that of the fruit size from these two trees. As you can see, it's about the size of a melon. The color and the shape of the fruit from the tree of the life and the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are different. First, the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a pink and has a shape similar to peach on earth. And the fruit from the tree of the life is similar to an apple, and it too has a red color. This is a picture depicting the fruit of life. It's not flaming red. It has just a little of the red color and beautiful. Can you compare this to imagine? The fruit of life is not only in the Garden of Eden, but also in the heaven. Revelation chapter 2:7 says, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It's about the paradise, not the Garden of Eden. And Revelation chapter 22:2 says, in the middle of its street on the either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing the 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. From these verses, you can see that there are many kinds of the tree of life. And there are 12 kinds in New Jerusalem. From the tree of life in the New Jerusalem, 12 kinds of fruits of life are consistently yielded. Among these many fruits of life, the one in the Garden of Eden is similar in shape and the color to a red apple. So you cannot confuse these two fruits because God made this shape and color of two fruits distinctly different. Just as the color and the shape of an apple and a peach are completely different, the fruit of the life and the tree of the good and evil are different. You can surely distinguish the fruit of the life from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Among these two fruits, God told Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, Adam eventually ate the fruits from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Since the two fruits are different in the shape and color, it's impossible to say, I was confused with which is this or that. While you are living in the earth, you will always come across the good and evil, and the spirit and flesh. You can easily discern which one is good and which one is evil. You can easily see which is a spirit and which is flesh. Just as these two fruits are so different, good and evil are clearly distinguished. It is clear what is the spirit and what is flesh. It's almost impossible to choose good thinking, it's evil, or to choose a spirit thinking is flesh. In John chapter 63, Jesus said, it's a spirit who gives life and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. When you stand at the crossroad, I hope that you will always choose the side of goodness and the spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells in you will help you discern the good and evil. Whenever you choose the Spirit, He will rejoice. He will add grace and strength to you. Dear brother and sister, the fruits in heaven taste fresh yet mellow. Once you bite into it, it feels like a melting in your mouth. The fruits of heaven simply melt in your mouth without chewing them. So they melt cleanly in your mouth and leave no residue. There are two sweets on this earth that start to melt when you put them in your mouth like a meringue. Meringue-like. The fruits of heaven has a deep and rich flavor. And because they leave no something left in your mouth, you don't have to go to the bathroom. There's no bad smell, but beautiful fragrance in heaven. They have a unique smell and a taste that cannot be compared with the fruits of the earth. Once when I received a revelation about the heaven, God let me taste the fruit of heaven. From head to toe, my whole body was drenched in its taste and its smell, and I soon became full of the breath of life. If you go to the heavenly kingdom in the future, you can taste the fruits of life as much as you please. The fruits of life in the heaven is much more flavorful and aromatic than in the Garden of Eden. Also, the fruits of heaven and the New Jerusalem are comparable in taste. Of course, the fruits of the paradise are much tastier than the fruit of the Garden of Eden. But again, the taste of the fruits in the paradise and the New Jerusalem are completely different. There are regions in this land that are famous for apples, and the apples there taste much better than those from other regions, such like pears and persimmons. Like in the heavenly kingdom, of course, the fruit in New Jerusalem is much tastier than that in paradise. And I said that there are 12 different kinds of fruit of life in the New Jerusalem. I hope that all of you go to New Jerusalem and check the smell and the taste of them yourselves. Now, let me explain the Genesis chapter 2:10. Now, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. And from the Genesis chapter 2:11 and onwards, it mentions the names and the area where those four rivers flow. It says that the source of the four rivers is Eden. It's not in the Garden of Eden. Then where did the water of this source of the four rivers come from? With the expanse in the middle, waters were divided into two, the water above the expanse and the water below the expanse. The waters below the expanse became the seas of the earth on the third of the creation, and the waters above the expanse were moved to second heaven. At this time, the waters which were moved to the second heaven became the source of the river of Eden. The river which flowed out of the Eden flows throughout the Garden of Eden, just as the river of the life flows from the throne of God and the circus around the heaven. So there's a river that flows around the Garden of Eden. The natural environment of the Garden of Eden is so similar to that of the earth that is definitely needs the water. The plants and animals of the Garden of Eden were able to sustain themselves and receive the nourishment from this water. Of course, the people of Eden also need water. Even though they are living beings, their bodies were made of the dust from the ground. Blood circulated in their bodies. It means that their body requires water. Since the Garden of Eden also needed water, God moved the water above the expanse to the second heaven and moved it to the source of the river of Eden. By the way, the Genesis chapter 2:10 says, and from there it divided and became four rivers. In this verse, the from there refers to the source of the river of Eden. It's the source of the water in the second heaven. The waters above the expanse are the source of the river in the Garden of Eden and also source of the four rivers. When God created the earth, He also created the water above the expanse and moved it to the second heaven. Since the water covered the entire earth, the amount of the water was enormous. By the way, these four rivers are not in the Garden of Eden, but on earth. The waters which were moved to the second heaven poured down onto four places in the earth and became big rivers. I said that atmospheres phenomena began to take place after the first day of the creation, and it started to rain on the earth. Before then, there were only sea waters. There was no water on the air, on the land. Only after the rain, flows of the waters came into being. But I also told you that there were no rivers where lots of waters flow. Generally speaking, thin brooks in a valley gather to make a stream, and the many streams gather to make a river. However, the four big rivers that affected the spreading of the human cultivations were not made like that. God made the four rivers by pouring down the rivers in the second heaven into the four places on earth. When the localized torrential rainfall comes down, you could have felt as if waters were being poured down from the sky. God opened the gate of the second heaven and let the water from the river of Eden to pour down into the four regions. I'm saying that the gate of the second heaven opened and the water poured down through it. Do you believe it? There are gates in the air. The Bible also says that during the great flood, when the windows of heaven opened and the water poured down to cover the earth. At the time, water reached the mountains of the earth. How fast must the water happen to cover the entire mountains on the earth? Water also poured out from the underground. Another incident like this is mentioned in the Bible. During the flood of Noah, the doors of the heaven opened and the waters in the Eden were poured down onto the earth. And the sky was open on the whole earth, and it rained for the 40 days. I hope people read the Bible with these things in mind. So while praying, you must also feel that evil forces are holding the power in the air and know the spiritual world. Much of the Bible speaks of the spirit world and the gateway to it. In this way, the windows of heaven were open, and the deacon Stephen saw the heavens open and the Lord. The world we see with our naked eyes is not everything. There's a spiritual world that cannot be seen. Our Lord also ascended to the heaven and disappeared in the clouds. It would have been better if he had shown the people that he was ascending to heaven, but he disappeared into the clouds. Right there were gates leading to the second heaven, to the third and the two fourth heavens. And the area around that passage is covered with clouds. If there had been no cloud, the Lord would have suddenly disappeared into the air as he entered through the door. How puzzled must the people have been when they saw that sight? That's why the surrounding area was covered by cloud. Manna, food of Exodus, also came down in this way. Going back to the scene of the Lord's ascension, what would the Lord have been like if he had not entered the cloud, but had continued to ascend into the air as the people thought? The air the plane flies in this extremely cold at minus 70 degrees. So if the Lord had continued to ascend into the air, it would have been too cold to lower. So let's admit that our thinking has limitations. So when you read the description in the Bible, you should have prayed that thinking. There must be reason why the Lord disappeared into the clouds. There must be some other secret. You should have a prayer and the thinking that there must be something more than what you think about the manna coming down to the ground. The parting of the Red Sea, the wind suddenly blowing so that the Red Sea split, and when Egyptian soldiers entered, the waters suddenly came back together. But while the Israelites are walking across this Red Sea, the strong winds kept going. And Elijah running faster than the king's chariots, rather than the thinking of it as a mere human knowledge and the legendary story, you should have pondered it and prayed about it. As a result, even the highest mountain on the earth was completely submerged under the waters. I will tell you why did God make the four rivers on the earth? It's involved in the spiritual meaning of the number four. Number four means it has the primary of a suffering. It was for about the 400 years that the Israelites lived in the slaves in Egypt, and for 40 years that they lived in the wilderness after Exodus. Our Jesus also fasted for 40 days before he began his public ministry. Number four is also the number relating man and earth. When you refer to the whole surface of the earth, you say all the four directions of the earth. God could have made the three rivers or seven rivers, but since the number four is the number relating the earth and the number of the man, He made the four rivers. After Adam was driven out to the earth and the human cultivation began, people started to flourish around these four rivers. These four rivers are identical to cradle of the ancient civilizations. These place names in the Bible are birthplaces of the world civilization in human history. In order for man to survive, water is must. Not only for drinking, but also for all area of life, water is a necessity. It's essentials in farming as well. This way, this was why people gathered around the rivers and they formed a village and its size grew and grew. As you can see, the rivers have a very special meaning to human beings. When God Himself made the four rivers, all the conditions for human cultivations were set. By the way, the shape of these rivers has changed greatly from the original shape that God created. As countless years passed by, the topography of the land changed, and thus the location of the river also changed. Over the countless years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, the location of a river has also changed. The Yellow River is very wide in China. The Yellow River, right? The river is a very long, wide, and the terrain of a lower reaches of the Yellow River is constantly changing. So towns around the river appear and disappear. The topography of the water courses changes over many years, so how much have the rivers of this early civilization changed since then? You should not misunderstand that the original locations and the shapes of the rivers were the same as the of today, only because their names are the same with their current names. If you interpreted the Bible only literally, without considering this fact and try to explore the rivers, you can make errors. It's because God made these four rivers a very long time ago from our current age. A tremendous amount of the times has passed. If the age of the earth is says 4.5 million years or 5 billion years, it's incomparable. The time when God the Father covered the earth with the water of life must go back much farther. God created Adam and the dust from the ground and led him into the Garden of Eden. Adam lived in the Garden of Eden for countless years while giving birth to his descendants. Therefore, you should remember that the four rivers also have a very long history. From the next lecture, I will tell you the spiritual meaning of the four rivers and their rough locations today. Let me include it, dear brothers and sisters. Tonight, I told you about the natural environment of the Garden of Eden, the second and the two special fruits and the river which flowed out of Eden. The river which flowed from the Eden flows throughout the Garden of Eden and brings life and the fullness of the planet, plants and animals in the Garden of Eden. In addition, the waters which were the source of the River of Eden also poured down to four places of the earth to form big rivers. Those people gathered around the river and developed the civilization. Like this, God Himself made the river in the four places of the earth where people could get water, which is the necessary. It's a necessary. Just as a man cannot live without water physically, man cannot survive without water in a spiritual sense as well. Man can become blessed only when he has the word of God, which is the spiritual water. Psalm chapter 1:3 talks about the blessing which can be enjoyed by the one who meditates on the word of the God day and the night. It says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by the stream of the water, which yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. In this year of the harvest, it's now fiscally a time of the harvest. Well, what kind of fruits have you yielded? And how abundant have your life become? If many more of you becomes a blessing in the future and give glory to God with a beautiful and perfect fruits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.